Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 18th of December. Two large questions this hour. How can we achieve better gun safety in this country? And what is the geography of gun deaths in America? We'll have several guests with us during the course of this hour. We need to let you know because we were telling you that one of the survivors of the Virginia Tech massacre, Colin Goddard, will be joining us, and we received late word that he is meeting with family members in Newton, Connecticut, as they attend funerals this week, so he will not be with us this morning, and we completely understand that would be a priority. So we are going to be speaking with John Edwards, police chief of Oak Creek, Wisconsin. As you know, that community, and it had ramifications for the state of Wisconsin and the whole country, had a horrible mass shooting at a Sikh temple in August. John Dickert will also join us, mayor of Racine, Wisconsin. He's a member of Mayors Against Illegal Guns. There are some 700 mayors from big cities and small towns from all over the country that joined this coalition. Not recently, they've been members for some time, and they are committed to sharing the best practices to develop policies and support legislation at the national, state, and local levels that will help enforcement agencies target illegal guns. Later this hour, we will be speaking with the senior editor of The Atlantic. The author did a very interesting article after the Tucson massacre, The Geography of Gun Deaths, Terrible Tragedies Cause Us to Search for Deeper Answers. And that's what we're doing this hour, searching for deeper answers. Our phone number for you to join this conversation all hour is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. We welcome all of your thoughts this hour. Police Chief John Edwards, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And also Mayor John Dickert, Mayor of Racine, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Let me just start with your thoughts about this horror that we keep living through as all of these children and teachers are buried during the course of this week. We have, as has been said, reached a point where we cannot tolerate this anymore. Would you agree with that? We just can't live this way anymore.
I would agree with that.
Absolutely, and I think the president stated it best, Kathleen, when he said that no longer are we going to find excuses to not act. And I think that's really what this has come down to. As a father of two young children, time has come.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you, both of you, kind of a large question right at the beginning here. What is it that we need to do? What is going to make us safer? Do you have a list of legislation you want passed? Do you have ideas of how we can get everybody at the table to address this in good faith? What do we need to do? Let's start with you, Police Chief John Edwards.
One of the things we need to do is come up with a better way to identify these individuals. I know when things like this happen, the quick response is, it seems to focus on we need to get rid of guns, we need to do things like that, but it really doesn't get rid of the violence and the people who have these issues. Everything should be on the table to discuss in these instances. But last week alone, I was at a national summit put on by Homeland Security on mass casualty shootings. They invited 25 to 30 people around the country who had these things happen in their communities. They had researchers, professors from universities, K through 12, and different individuals, and John Hopkins facilitated this, and we basically brainstormed and talked about how can we prevent this from happening. And one of the things that we did identify is that there are a lot of good models and a lot of good risk assessments out there that are being used in different professions for specific things within that profession. The problem is we don't share that information, and some of the reasons we don't share it is because of laws that are in place or misunderstanding some of the laws that are in place as far as what kind of information we can share. The mental health professionals look at something one way, And we look at it another way. If we combine those and share that information, we're going to be able to come up with better ways to identify these individuals to get them the help. Some people think that when you identify somebody, the police are going to put them in jail. They're going to go get them, and if someone tells about a relative, that's not what we do. Our law enforcement officers every single day assess people on a daily basis to find out what's best for them, where they need to be, do they need help, do they need to get arrested, or do they need other type of help? And that's what they do every day, and we just need some of that information to be shared, including military records.
So you had this meeting before the massacre on Friday?
Yes, we were actually at it in a federal law enforcement training site in Glencoe, Georgia, starting on Monday, and the Oregon Mall shooting happened while we were in this, and then I was on a flight home when the shooting happened in Connecticut. So we had talked. This was convened prior to any of this, and we had come together saying we just had enough, and we need to come up with a way through all these different disciplines and expertises to try and figure out a way to not only identify but maybe prevent it. Some of the stuff we talked about were public awareness campaigns, similar to what they do for bullying, and you know, when we have movie stars and people like that talking and getting the message out, we need to do more of that regarding if you see something, say something, like Homeland Security already has out there.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Dicker, Mayors Against Illegal Guns, you are in, one of the things that you do is share the best practices and to develop policies and also support legislation on all levels that will help law enforcement target illegal guns. What are the best practices that you are aware of?
Well, the first thing is I want to reiterate what the chief said. You know, one of the first things that I do as a mayor is I go back to my chief and say, what are the solutions? You know, because we've seen far too much from Congress and the state houses, not only an inconsistency, but an unwillingness to really act on this. So what you're seeing is the mayor's taking over and the mayor's taking this issue on directly because they see the impact more directly in their communities, number one. But also, I think that the mayors are talking more with their chiefs, who are the people on the ground and the police officers on the ground. And let me be very candid with our audience here. It's not just the gun violence that you see on TV. It's the gun violence that we have with gangs and drugs in our cities. Let's not forget that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think the best thing, Kathleen, to answer your question is consistency. What we have seen as mayors is that when you start working on legislation that is consistent from city to city, you can't have individuals running guns or just moving across the border to get something that they need. The biggest problem that we have right now is that, you know, when I went to, because I'm a gun owner, I'm from a military family, I'm a gun owner, I've been shooting guns since I was seven. When I went to the store to get a gun, they registered everything that they needed from me. But yet, if you go to one of these, gun shows, nobody's registering anything. And the problem that we have is there's some places, you know, the good guys are doing all the good work, and there's a group of people that are not. So what we need is a consistency. So unfortunately, that consistency can only come from the state or federal level. Unfortunately, for our people, that's not happening. So what we see as mayors is that we're starting to put in place the pieces of the puzzle that we need, but we need that consistency so people just don't cross a border to get an illegal gun or get a gun without being registered.
Police Chief Edwards, do you think that most of us could agree when we all sit at that table to talk about what we need to do to be safer that we should have background checks on everybody who's buying a gun?
Yes, I don't see anything wrong with that. I'm a gun owner myself, and I've bought guns, and the same thing, I've had to register information, and I'm not worried about that. We need to have some of these things. I know there's been talk in some states where if someone has some mental health issues that rise to a certain level, they have to register with the state that they cannot purchase a firearm. These are some of the civil liberties that people are a little concerned about when we talk about these things, saying, well, that's kind of infringing on their privacy rights. But I personally... and I believe in all of those privacy rights, and I stand by them, and I'm sworn to uphold those. But I would rather not read about 20 children being killed, and I would rather read about somebody upset about their mental health records being shared, and they felt that their privacy rights were infringed when it was based on good, sound thought, and we're trying to save lives. And I didn't have to read about 20 children being killed. Those are some of the things we have to decide as a nation. What are we willing to push back on both sides?
Right. And Mayor Dickard and Police Chief Edwards, what about the kinds of guns that we can buy in this country? There have been some calls, probably most vociferously, from the governor of Connecticut, who really said yesterday, we don't need these kind of assault weapons. What are we doing with some of these weapons? Is it time to have a national conversation about what should be sold and what just simply shouldn't be in the hands of people?
Well, I guess I'll just say this, that, you know, my father was a Marine in the Korean War. My brother was a Marine in the Philippines, guerrilla wars. They used assault weapons because they used M16s and 30-06s to kill people. That's what they used them for. And they'll both tell you, my father unfortunately passed away, but my brother will be the first one to tell you that we do not need these weapons in society. They are meant for one purpose, for mass killing, and that's it. If you are claiming to be a deer hunter and you're using an AR-15 with a 20-round clip, well, then I'd suggest that you need another hobby. Because if you're putting off 20 rounds to kill a deer, you really need to be you're putting everybody in that area in danger, and you need another hobby. The reality is that, you know, I think the least that we should be doing, is that if you want to buy an automatic weapon or a clip that has more than a couple of rounds in it, that you need to be registered and you need to be authorized to get that weapon. Now, everybody's going to talk about civil rights and, you know, how this is going to be the Big Brother syndrome. But, you know, when you talk to the police that, like I have, my police officers and my police chief, and when I talk to the veterans of this country, they all tell me the same thing. Mayor, you don't need those except for one thing, and that is in the military to kill a lot of people. So, you know, the question is, are we going to be serious about this, or is this just another, you know, Kathleen, is this just another show for a couple of days, and then we all forget about it again?
Right.
You know, how many children have to die before this is going to be taken seriously? How many kids in my inner city have to die from gang or drug violence, or in any city, before we start taking this seriously? You know, I don't think we can get to that point anymore. I think we have to be serious about it. That's why the mayors are doing what we're doing. And I pray to God that if anything comes out of this, intense registration goes, if they want to get that gun, you got to get registered with a background check and a psychological profile.
Police Chief Edwards, would you agree that we need to look at the kinds of weapons that we are allowed to buy in America?
Yeah, I think everything should be on the table, and I agree. I'm a hunter, and if I see somebody comes up with a magazine hanging out that's got 20 or 30 rounds, it concerns me a little bit on what their true hunting ethics might be and what their purpose is out there. But I think we can't forget, and I think that should be on the table and should be discussed. And it was banned for a while. There were assault weapon bans and magazine capacity load bans under the Brady Bill. The thing is, when those bans were in place, these shootings did not stop. So it's something we should look at. Everything should be on the table. But what we have to look at is the root cause of why this is happening, who are the people doing it, and better ways to identify them, get them the help they need, because for every one of these that happen, there are hundreds of thousands of others who own weapons that don't do these things. And it brings it to the forefront when these things happen. And like I said, I agree that we need to look at them. A lot of the crimes that happen are created, like the mayor said, are done by people with illegal guns. There's laws in place that they don't follow. And that happens every day in law enforcement. We see that. So I think, yes, they should be. We should visit that and look at that. I don't know why we need 20 rounds to go hunt deer or anything like that. That really doesn't make sense. But it's looked at from in law enforcement. It's a feel-good measure. Look what we've done. We fixed it. But the amount of shootings, the mass shootings that happened during that time frame didn't dissipate. They still happened.
We're going to go to phone calls. We have many of them. This hour were trying to look at how we can be safer, and it's a huge issue. We have two guests with us the first half hour, the mayor of Racine, John Dickard, who's a member of Mayors Against Illegal Guns. 700 mayors, big places, small communities all over the country are members. He is one, and we're speaking with police chief from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. And as you recall, Oak Creek experienced one of these mass shootings, horrendous shooting, not very long ago, in August, the Sikh temple. John Edwards, the police chief of Oak Creek, is also with us. 800-486-8655 is our number. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up later this hour, we'll be speaking with Richard Florida, who wrote a very interesting piece and did a study after the Tucson tragedies on the geography of gun deaths. And just to give you a nutshell account of what he writes about, he says firearm deaths are significantly lower in states with stricter gun control legislation. We will talk with him about that coming up. All right, let's go to your phone calls, and we will start with Jane at Fort McCoy. Hi, Jane. Jane, are you there? All right, Jane, sorry. Let's go to Dave in Verona. Hi, Dave.
All right, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I look at this in a different way. I don't think that the guns are the problem. I do agree that assault weapons shouldn't be there. We shouldn't have large magazines and the like, but guns don't kill people. People kill people. We need to find a way to license deadly weapons so that we educate people, kind of like an automobile license. We don't need a license for an automobile to buy a car. We don't need a license to get in a car and drive it. We only need one if we have a problem. If we license deadly weapons owners, operators, and caretakers, we could then fine people for failing to have a license, failing to get an education to truly understand the nature of the deadly weapons and what to do about it. It's kind of like Neighborhood Watch. Nobody knew that they could call the police for somebody knocking on their door until they went to Neighborhood Watch meetings. Well, we need to educate people like moms and dads and whatever. If you see something strange, call.
John Edwards, police chief.
Again, it's one of the licensing things we talk about, that right now there's hunter safety programs that hundreds of thousands of people go through, including I put my daughters through it. They understand gun safety. They know all about it. When the mayor, he's part of a group that's about illegal guns. So licensing people doesn't take out of the equation the people who go after the illegal guns, and it doesn't look at the violent behavior or those people who would have a tendency to do this, because they're not going to care if there's a license or not. We need to be able to identify the individuals who have a tendency or propensity to do these things and find a better way to do that, and there are plenty of models out there. They're not going to care if there's a license. They're not going to care if there's something out there. I'm not saying we shouldn't look at all of this. Everything should be on the table. But sometimes we're trying to find a quick fix for some of these issues when violent behavior is violent behavior. I heard somebody in another show mention that because in China they outlawed guns, so the individual went into a school and stabbed 20 children. And they said, well, all those children lived. If we wouldn't have had guns, maybe they'd lived. So here you would settle for 20 children being stabbed. You're okay with that. That's the issue is the violent behavior and the people who do it, and we need to identify it. Because I'm not okay with 20 kids being stabbed. Even though they all live, I'm still not okay with that. So that's the issue in my mind.
Mike in Appleton, hi.
Good morning. Gentlemen, maybe you could address a question that I have. If you go online and start with 1950, and you come up to the present day, question, why is it, except for the Charlie Manson murders, but those were not random mass shootings, why is it that every mass murderer was a man?
Mayor Dicker.
Well, I can't get into the psychology of this, and I don't propose to. The issue that we have here is, like the chief said, it's getting to the crux of the problem, and the crux of the problem is that we've got illegal guns moving, and we've got people selling guns where we don't know who they're selling them to. Let me give you an example. We had a gun that was stolen in Racine. Within 48 hours, it was pulled after a murder in Minneapolis. In 48 hours. Guns are moving quickly. People are selling them without us being able to track who they are, what the background information is on them. And what we're trying to get to here is to try to get an idea of what guns are illegally out there, how we can control them, and try to prevent some of these issues that are going on right now. You know, there's a lot of talk about the fact that, guns don't kill people. People do. We get that. But the problem is when our law enforcement doesn't even know who these people are or who might have a weapon and who are not. Remember, these folks are going out into those situations. Our police officers are going out into situations that are deadly situations. And I think the more information we can provide them and the more background information that we have, the better. I will tell you this, just like the chief said, you know, if you're a good person, you shouldn't worry one bit about registering your gun or registering for the gun.
What makes both of you believe, and who do you think needs to sit at this table to make some changes? I think that we have reached a point where you see these young children, and both of you are familiar with other kinds of gun violent deaths with young people. It certainly is a horrendous problem all over the country, but to see these images all the time on the TV and to grieve with these people and to see six-year-olds and seven-year-olds gunned down this way, it really, it's just too much. It's just too much for all of us to take. And this made it the moment, I think, that we look at this. What makes both of you believe that we may become a safer country as a result of answering the questions about how we need to become a safer country? What makes you believe this is the moment?
Well, I think, candidly, I think the country is demanding leadership. That's what this is all about. The country is demanding leadership from their elected officials. The mayors, almost half the mayors in this country, have stood up and said, you know what, enough is enough. They're expecting leadership from their Congress. They're expecting leadership from their state house. And you know what they're expecting them to do? They're expecting them to do what's right. What's right for their people, not for their party, not for their money donors, not for their private organizations or their 538 organizations or whatever it is. The fact is we are a country and we take an oath when we're elected officials to protect our people, not to protect partisan politics and not to protect organizations. And our police officers take a sworn oath to protect our citizens, and they do that. Don't you think we can give them a little bit of help? You know, we've seen the murder of children again. And like the president said, enough is enough. You know, does your child have to die for you to get involved in this? Haven't we seen enough of this? The excuses are over. The mayors have been doing this, and they're leading the country on this because we've had enough, too, because we see it every day in our towns. It's time for Congress, and it's time for the folks in the state houses to wake up to the reality of the world, and that is that we need to act. The talk is over.
And I would just like to add that going back to the issue of why this particular, one of the things that happens is it's very easy for us to distance ourselves when we read in the paper or see something on the news about somebody being shot, say in an inner city or at a gas station robbery or something like that. We can distance ourselves because we
yes.
can say, I'm not going there.
Mm-hmm.
But when we see that 20 children were killed in a grade school, we can't distance ourselves from that. That's everybody in the country who has lived that and is part of that every single day, so it's very scary. So that's why you get this, you know, this things like this happen a lot. There's a lot more murders and violence that goes on in this country that isn't reported, or we ignore because we can just say, I'm not associated with it. And I think because of this, we have a real good opportunity to take advantage of some changes, and really a lot of things that have changed in the past are tied to funding. And unfortunately, that's sometimes what gets the ball rolling is funding. If you attach funding to it, people are mandated to do certain things. I'll give you an example, the universities. The universities now have a great system in place, all of them. They all have a notification, texting, lockdowns, police. They know where to go. They know who to call. They have unbelievable communication systems for the college campuses, and my daughter's part of that. She's on a college campus, and the things that they have are fantastic, but they're part of the Clery Act. And that goes back to funding. If you don't do these things, you'll lose your funding. And they do a very good job of it. So we need to look at that. We have a good opportunity here to maybe tie some funding to some new proposals. And you got to mandate some things. You can't just ask. Some things have to be mandated.
Well, I hope both of you are part of the conversation on all of this at the very highest levels. And I thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Our thanks to John Edwards, police chief in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, where the horrible shooting took place in August at the Sikh temple, and that community has been extraordinary. Members of that community have traveled to Newton, Connecticut to be of comfort to the family members who lost children, who lost relatives, brothers and sisters and teachers and grandchildren in Newton, Connecticut. We also thank John Dickert, mayor of Racine, and he is working with the organization Mayors Against Illegal Guns.